This is Tripod, New Orleans at 300. I'm Lane Kaplan-Levenson.
Full disclosure, having grown up in Alabama, Louisiana, the drinking age was 18. Alabama was never.
This is Connie Atkinson, Associate Professor of History at the University of New Orleans. She's been living in New Orleans for decades, but before then, she drove here looking for fun.
The advertisements that tourists see in other countries and other places promote New Orleans as a place apart. Lyrics of rock and roll songs, there's dozens and dozens and dozens that mention New Orleans as this place of sin, this place of this otherness that you can visit. For instance, Planet New Orleans by Dire Straits. If you visit there, be prepared for these people in Planet New Orleans.
Which is why, for one reason or another, it's always been a destination city with a reputation.
Well, it was a port city. People come in from everywhere. People are accustomed to strangers. New Orleans was a Catholic city in the middle of Protestant South. The Catholics, for instance, dance. However, for Protestant America, dancing was sinful, especially on Sundays. Particularly people from the Northeast would come and they'd be shocked at New Orleans. And shock, it sells.
Cities like things that sell, especially when selling itself can be its bread and butter.
One of the problems with being a city that depends so much for its lifeblood on the tourist economy is you are inclined to give the customer more of what they want.
Lolas Eric Eli speaks his mind while we sit in his backyard in the Treme. He's a native New Orleanian and was a staff writer for HBO's show named after his neighborhood, Treme.
If they come here on a Monday and enjoy the red beans and rice on Monday, and they start asking for them on Tuesday, next thing you know, you're selling them on Tuesday. If they find out that the Mardi Gras Indians or that the second line organizations have the annual parades on Sunday, well, could they do it on Tuesday? Because our conference ends on Wednesday, and all of a sudden you got folks doing that stuff.
This is what frustrates Lolas about the tourism industry. He says it all comes down to character versus caricature.
I define character as something real, innate, unstudied, not put on. I define caricature as taking those elements of your character that you find most popular and exacerbating them and exaggerating them so as to make yourself more pleasing to your audience.
The city didn't always use its homegrown culture as its main attraction. It was an evolution.
In New Orleans, you didn't have a dedicated tourism bureau until the early 1960s.
This is Mark Souther, Associate Professor of History at Cleveland State University. You might remember him from the Second Battle of New Orleans story. When I met him in the French Quarter, we naturally got to talking about tourism. He says up until the mid-20th century,
there was this idea that, New Orleans kind of sells itself anyway. We have Mardi Gras, we have the Sugar Bowl, and people find us just fine. Our hotels are full.
Plus, the whole budget allotted to tourism was a tiny sliver from the Chamber of Commerce, so the city was strapped and couldn't do much in that department anyway. Mayors like Chet Morrison, who held office from 1946 to 1961, had started to focus on modernizing the city post-World War II. Morrison wasn't against tourism.
But he was much more interested in promoting New Orleans' world trade connections. He wanted to really build up the kind of industry and, you know, handling of cargo that would pick New Orleans up some, because it really had slipped.
After World War II, New Orleans wasn't as important an economic power as it had been. Mark says Mayor Morrison wanted to restore that more than he wanted to restore some old dilapidated buildings.
He basically said, I would gladly trade all this glamour and romance of the French Quarter for a few modern buildings. Of course, he's looking at other cities like Houston and Atlanta and Dallas.
And all the modern skyscrapers these new South cities were filling with corporate jobs. Which Lolas says is unfortunate.
We have a problem with self-image. Our concept of progress is Atlanta and Dallas and all these places. I have yet to find anybody in Dakar, Senegal, or Paris, France, or Bombay, India saying, Lord, I can't wait to get to Houston.
You're listening to Tripod, New Orleans at 300. I'm Lane Kaplan-Levenson. In the 70s, the city was still less focused on preservation as an asset and more focused on big business for economic growth, especially oil. And in the 70s, there was an oil boom. This is where we get into two different types of tourists.
We spent less money than Utah on attracting discretionary tourists.
By discretionary tourist, Connie means someone who chooses where to go, as opposed to someone who ends up in a place circumstantially, like for a conference. This is why we see the throngs of lecture-attending, expo booth window shopping visitors who take to the streets, lanyards swaying from their necks, during their off hours from the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, or the Union of Black Episcopalians, or Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity, just to name three of the conventions taking place in New Orleans in 2016. Going back to the 70s, there was now money to spend, since the oil boom and all. Money for Mayor Moon Landrieu to spend.
Moon Landrieu took office in 1970, and he's saying, yeah, the French Quarter is a great place for tourism. And by the way, why don't we really develop that and much more tourist-friendly?
Landrieu, father of New Orleans' current mayor, Mitch Landrieu, was one of the first to invest in tourist-driven development, particularly in the quarter. He created the pedestrian walkways on either side of Jackson Square and the viewing platform that sits between the square and the river. You know, all those steps next to Café du Monde.
And then the moonwalk along the Mississippi River, you know, was another part of this effort to create a tourist space.
Moonwalk, named after Mayor Moon. Not to be confused with Moonwalk, the Chinese restaurant on Canal Street.
So he was looking to create fun zones, and he was not alone. Other cities were doing these same kinds of things in the 60s and 70s. You have Ghirardelli Square in San Francisco. Then Boston in 1976 opens Faneuil Hall Marketplace. All these things were actually happening about the same time, an old space that's being repurposed for tourists.
It was about the notion of progress more so than preservation, which often favored the visitor more than the local. Take the French Market.
It's very true to say that the French Market was not just aimed at tourists, though it devolved into being just that, I would say. It's just over time that it morphs into something. Eventually, you know, you sort of give up on the market aspect of it and you move totally towards souvenirs and food, increasingly food.
New Orleans has always loved its food, but it wasn't always used as bait to lure visitors. This changed in the 80s when the oil boom came to a crashing halt.
When the price of barrels plummeted, people were out of work. It was desperate times for the city. And at that moment, they started looking around for a way to attract the discretionary tourist.
Connie says out of this desperation, the city went from overlooking its culture to hawking it.
The slogan for the Tourism Marketing Corporation was "Come Join the Parade," which gave visitors this idea that our private cultural activities were open for them to participate in. So, yeah, it's granddaddy's funeral, but jump on in. Mm. Have some fun.
Like what Lolis was saying earlier, it's dangerous to do anything out of desperation. New Orleans went from a triumvirate economy with a major port, leading in oil and building a tourism industry, to really leaning in almost exclusively on tourism, which did create a lot more jobs, Mark says.
I would never question that. That it's no replacement for having a diverse economy that has a lot of different kinds of jobs that are more rewarding and more stable. And it's a hard mix to find.
Linnell Thomas grew up in New Orleans and is now chair of American Studies at the University of Massachusetts, Boston. She agrees with Mark and Connie that tourism became a central industry to make up for the lost industries, which is why everybody had to get on board.
It required, of all New Orleanians in some sense, for us to buy in to the importance of tourism and how vital it is for the economy, that we needed to maintain it at any cost. But we also buy into the idea that when tourism succeeds, that everybody succeeds. I mean, that hasn't been the case.
More of that from Linnell coming up on the next Tripod. Tripod is a production of WWNO New Orleans Public Radio in collaboration with the Historic New Orleans Collection and the University of New Orleans Midlow Center for New Orleans Studies. Catch Tripod on the air Thursdays during Morning Edition at 8:30 a.m. and again Monday afternoons on All Things Considered. To hear Tripod anytime, anywhere, any episode, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, and you know what to do there. Write us a review. It works. You're doing it. It's helping. I promise. Thank you. You can also go to wwno.org, where you can see a poster telling people to come on down to New Orleans from 1950. Don't forget, next episode, we are doing part two of this series on tourism, part two. I'm Lane Kaplan-Levenson.
My name is Connie Atkins, and I'll tripod you later. I love it. I love it.